Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, Why Do Lutherans Look So Catholic to Protestants? And why do Lutherans look so Protestant to Catholic?
God's grace, His mercy, His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ our Savior.
Amen.
Last week we had Reformation Sunday, where we celebrated the great Protestant Reformation of the 1500s, spearheaded by Martin Luther. And we looked at how and why the Lutherans and Luther broke away from the Roman Catholic Church, or maybe you could say the Roman Catholic Church broke with Luther. We saw, especially last week, we looked at the ultimate infallible authority was one of the reasons for the breakaway, because Luther said it's the Bible, Scripture alone, sola scriptura, not the Pope, who has been and is in error. And also it was over, of course, the gospel. Luther and the Lutherans, it's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, a man is saved in Jesus alone. But then the Roman Catholic Church saying, of course, yes, Christ is a Savior, but you get to heaven by your own works, merits, and righteousness. So there was definitely a break in those days over those two most important issues and others. The Roman Catholic Church breaking with Luther, and the Lutherans breaking with the Roman Catholic Church. So this week I'd like to talk with you about this. If indeed we are Protestants and broke away from the Roman Catholic Church, why do we Lutherans still look so Roman Catholic? You ever think about that? Or in a similar way, and so why do we look so Roman Catholic to so many other Protestants? And why do we then still also, though, look so very Protestant to many Catholics? Let's talk about that today. I thought it'd be a good one for us to look at after Reformation Sunday, so that we understand better our place in history and why we do things the way we do, look the way we are. And to do that, we're going to have to look at a good bit of history for the first part, and then we'll get to the scriptures in a little while to explain how sola scriptura, scripture alone, informs all of these things for us. So first, if we're talking about the Roman Catholic Church on the one hand, and Protestants on the other, where does the word Protestant come from? What was its original use, and what is a Protestant? Do you guys know what that is? The Protestant churches? In a general, broader sense, we say the Protestant churches are all those churches, today, we say, that rejected the Pope as the authority and rejected the Roman Catholic Church's errors in the things that they taught, especially the gospel. So in a general, generic sense, those are all Protestant churches, all the ones that do have rejected the Roman Catholic and broke away from them in the 1500s and on. But in a more specific sense, do you know where the word Protestant comes from? 29. It's 1529. At a town called Speyer in Europe, Luther had broken away several years before, in 1521, here I stand, I can do no other, my conscience is captive of the word of God, so help me God, here I stand. So that was in 1521, and then a few years later, let's get to 1526, the emperor of the Holy Roman Empire at that time wanted to crush the Lutherans, get rid of this Reformation in Europe, but he couldn't really do it at the time. You know why? Because the Turks, or the Muslims, were invading Europe, and he needed the help of the German princes. And the emperor also had a spat at that time with the Pope, a disagreement. So he couldn't quite crush the Reformation like he wanted to. So he said in 1526 at Speyer, he said, well, I'm going to give you a little, he didn't say it exactly this way, but he said, I'll let you a little off the hook. German princes, deal with this whole Reformation thing as you see fit. We'll get back together in a little while. Well, the Lutherans took that as, hey, let's make all the reforms we can. We've got a little leeway. That's not what the emperor was thinking. He wanted to crush them as soon as he could, but he had his hands full. A couple years later, in 1529, they get back together at Speyer at an imperial assembly. And at that point, the Roman Catholic Church, under the authority of the emperor, said, basically, you're going to now return to the Roman Catholic way, or else. In other words, by force, if I must, you will no longer be tolerated. At that point, the German princes, who had gone to Speyer in 1529, along with several representatives from the imperial free cities, protested, hence Protestant, we will not return to the Catholic Church or way. Why? Because like Luther, our conscience is captive to the Word of God. The Scripture is by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, we are saved. And when our consciences are bound to Scripture, we cannot return. We protest. So that's the specific use of the origin of Protestant. But later on, it came to, in a broader sense, be all the churches that rejected the Roman Catholic teaching and the Pope as the authority and the errors there. So, what are Protestant churches? You've got Lutheran, you've got the Anglicans and Episcopalians, you've got the Methodists, you've got the Presbyterians, you've got the Baptists, you've got the Pentecostals, and all the others. So, in the world, kind of, if you want to look at it this way, Eastern Orthodox way over there, in the eastern parts, then you get the Roman Catholic Church, then you get the Protestant churches. So, Lutheran is definitely Protestant, one of the Protestant Reformation churches. So the next question then is, if we Lutherans are indeed Protestants, and we are, why do we still look so very Roman Catholic? Do we actually look kind of Roman Catholic? Do I? I had a guy that was on our Wednesday night service one time, this was years ago, but he's from a Baptist background, and he looked at me one time and says, Pastor Greg, why do you look so Catholic? It's terrible. Catholic Church is so wrong. Look at you. Look at the way you're dressed, right? With this black shirt and the clerical collar, and then dressing in robes and things like that. And I told him, it's not clothes that make the difference. The shirt you wear, it's the doctrine and what we say. Clothes don't save anybody, but I get it. I mean, I did look and do look very Roman Catholic. You know, we can often get mistaken for Roman Catholics, especially me. Going to nursing homes, I wear my black clerical. If I'm wearing all black that day, I can be mistaken for a Roman Catholic a lot of times. I went into a one room one time after I visited our members, and I always like to just look around the nursing home. Is there somebody lonely that might need some prayer and a little cheering up? And I saw this lady, I should have known, by the way. Her name on the door was like O'Hearn or something, right? But anyway, I went in and I said, hi. You know, it's a beautiful day. God is good. Are you a Christian? Can I pray for you? Just trying to cheer her up. Sure. She let me cheer her up, and I prayed for her, and I was ready to go. And she said, before I left, in an Irish accent, she goes, and before you go, do you have a rosary, Father? I was like, no, I don't happen to have a rosary. I said, why don't you just pray straight to God through Jesus Christ? He'll hear me. Now, I probably should have told her I was a Lutheran, but I was afraid she was going to be shocked that a Lutheran had just prayed for her, so I didn't know what to do. I probably should have just told her. But at any rate, we look so very Roman Catholic. You can't tell the difference in appearance by clothes. Look at me on a Sunday. I wear the robe, very similar. The stole, which is the sign of the preaching office, all of us Lutherans, most of us, wear on Sunday. You've got the outside of a church. Lutheran looks just so Catholic. You can't tell the difference. Very traditional. You go inside and it looks very traditional. You come in and you've got an altar here in the center, behind in the chancel area with the altar rail. You've got the pews. You've got candles. You've got a crucifix, a cross over there to carry. You've got a cross in the center, although we don't have Jesus on it like a lot of Catholic churches, but we still have a cross. So the inside looks so Catholic. Bet you a lot of the former Catholics we have in the sanctuary here came to Lutheran church for the first time and they thought, boy, this looks so Catholic. It's very familiar. The liturgy is largely, seemingly the same. It's like the Catholic Mass. We've got, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and confession and absolution. We've got the scripture readings, the Kyrie, Lord have mercy. We've got the Lord's Supper or the Holy Eucharist, which we have in a few moments. We got candles, we got stained glass windows, and an orderly service. Why do we look so super Catholic? Well, we certainly do to a lot of Protestants, don't we? I mean, imagine, if you're a Protestant, you come to a Lutheran church and you're not used to it. Anglicans and Episcopalians probably like, yeah, it looks like our service. Very similar, traditional. Methodists, mostly a little less. Presbyterians, wow, this is looking really weird because they're further from the Catholics. The Baptists, you go in and the pastor just has a suit and a tie on. But certainly there's no altar in any of these. There's very little liturgy. There's no stained glass in most. Very, very plain. And what's the service like? 45 minutes of songs, 45 minutes of preaching, but the rest of the liturgy is out for the most part. And then you have, from there, you have, the Baptist churches, a lot of their services are actually very much like a tradition themselves from the 1800s revivalistic camp meetings. Songs and preaching and an altar call, even though they don't have an altar, they have an altar call. The Pentecostals, if you've been to their churches, then they have almost even less liturgy. Some dance in the aisles, jump up and down, speak in tongues, roll on the floor, hence you get the term holy rollers. Then you have the non-denominational churches today, where they have turned the lights off. A lot of them, some of them are worshiping in the dark in a movie theater with a band on the stage, and it sort of more resembles like a rock concert. The pastor's dress has now changed to jeans and a t-shirt, maybe even a baseball hat, looking a little more, I could say, like a Tony Robbins event, even though I like Tony Robbins, but looking like a motivational speaker type of thing rather than traditional church. So this is a big spectrum between all the churches. So imagine if you were at an evangelical church worshiping in the dark with a rock band in front of you, and you came to us on a Sunday at Christ Lutheran Church, you'd be like, what, are these guys Catholic or something? This looks so very Catholic. So why do we look so very Roman Catholic to many Protestants? A little more history here. When Luther broke away in the 1500s, here I stand, I can do no other. My conscience is captive to the word of God. You know, Luther and the Lutherans weren't the only ones to break away from the Roman Catholic Church. There were others, like John Calvin of France. He was of the Reformed tradition, or started that. You've got the Anabaptists and others who broke away as well. And their view of a lot of the Reformed churches, when it came to the Roman Catholic Church and breaking away, it was this. Only what is in the Bible we will do, but everything smacking at all of Roman Catholic is to be thrown out. Throw out the baby with the bathwater. We don't want anything to do with Catholicism. So therefore their church look, the looks of the church has changed. Inside the churches, the altar was removed. There were no crosses on a lot of them. There was no baptismal font, no stained glass. The pastor put on plain attire. There's almost no liturgy. Eucharist was hardly celebrated, or not much. And the pulpit was moved from the side to the center. It became a podium, and that was the only thing. It was that the center was the preaching. And John Calvin, of the Reformed tradition, even said there's going to be no more musical instruments, no flutes, no organs, no pianos. Sorry, Dan and Ginger, you're out of a job. It's only a cappella voices. So the idea for most other churches that broke away, so certain terms, depending on the church, was get rid of everything Roman Catholic, except for the Anglicans. So that's that view. What was Luther's view and that of our Lutheran forefathers for the last 500 years? Was that Lutherans said, we are not here to destroy the Roman Catholic Church, but just to reform it. We want to keep everything that we possibly can that we can do without contradicting Scripture, and whatever is contrary to the Scriptures and to the preaching of Jesus Christ, we will remove. But we'll keep everything else. So in other words, the Reformed, a lot of the Protestants, at least a lot of them, said, only what's in the Bible, we're going to keep what it commands. The Lutheran says, only what's against the Bible, we'll remove and take away. So Lutherans are okay with tradition, and you can do whatever you want. You can worship this way or that, we say. You're free to do as you wish. We just prefer to keep tradition, because Luther said there's a lot that can be helpful about it, And good, we're here to reform, not to destroy. And the aim of the Lutheran Church, and myself as your pastor, and Luther since the start, has been this. This is the change. Make Jesus and the preaching of the gospel, justification by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to be supreme and at the center and number one. And everything else just is decorating and adorning that. Okay, so then what did Luther and the Lutherans keep? What did they remove? What changes were made? And how does Scripture alone bring us to that? Well, first of all, looks. Do we look like the Roman Catholic Church? Number one, according to the look, then Luther said, this isn't hurting, it can be helpful, let's keep it. So, in terms of the outward appearance, according to dress, according to the order of the sanctuary, and such things, we'll keep as much of that as we can. You know, in Luther's day, when he, remember, was whisked away after he made the good confession and hid out for a year at Wartburg Castle to translate the Bible into German, he was away from Europe, more or less, for that year, at least hiding out. And the other reformers went after things with kind of a radical view. They started violently entering into churches, destroying statues, tearing down crosses, removing musical instruments, threatening Roman Catholic priests. Luther had to come out of hiding, more or less, at that time and say, wait, slow down. It took me 3 years to come to believe that the Roman Catholic Church was an error and to stand against it. Can you expect the whole world to change in 3 months? Wait, slow down. And he said, this is what can be kept, is the outward appearance that doesn't harm anything. And so Lutherans have kept the appearance and the outward look. And we think it's kind of nice to come to church on a Sunday, have the lights on, and not be worshiping in a movie theater, even though that can be okay too, but we think church should look different from the world. You should walk into the sanctuary, and it should appear, in some sense, that you're entering into a place not of the world, to talk about things of the world above, and of God, and of Christ. But what did Luther change? And according to Scripture alone, did he have to take out? Well, he added and made the center of the church the evangelical proclamation of the gospel. Getting that right back to the Bible here again, Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It's the free gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast. You know, if you want to know who we are as Lutherans, that's going to be the center. Look through our bulletin. Everything's about that. Jesus, number one. Grace alone, through faith alone, Christ alone, number one. Luther put the preaching of the word back into the emphasis and the center. Not the Pope as our ultimate infallible authority, but the word. And Luther said, whenever the church gets together, here or outside of church, the word should be preached, because by faith, it says faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes by the preaching of Christ. And again, by grace you've been saved through faith. This isn't your own doing, it's the free gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast. So, Luther put that as number one again. And in order to do so, he removed a lot of parts of the Roman Catholic Mass. Lengthy prayers that were taking up a lot of time, or ones that were unbiblical, ungodly. Or prayers to Mary, or prayers to the saints, and things like that. And Luther said, we're going to give place and room for the preaching of the word and Christ. Another thing he did, which was huge in those days, is he put the service into the language of the people, which was German for them. And for us, of course, it's English. That was a big change. You're not allowed to do that in those days. But the view was, based on Scripture alone, the people need to hear the word and understand it. You know, if you were to go to a Catholic church in those days, up until the 1960s, it was in what? Latin. And 99.999% or so of the people did not speak Latin. So you go to church and you don't even understand anything that's being said. basically. But in our Lutheran confessions, we quote verses like this, 1 Corinthians 14. If you in a tongue utter speech that's not intelligible, how will anyone know what is said? For you'll be speaking into the air. There are doubtless many different languages in the world, and none without meaning. But if I don't know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker a foreigner to me. Put it in the language of the people that they can hear clearly. And Luther said to the preachers, and speak up, because usually in those days the priest kept a very low voice. He's just doing a work to gain merits for you. It's his job. Luther says, preach it out. Let him hear. Let the people hear the gospel. Do you know that that's where the word hocus pocus supposedly comes from? Where the Roman Catholic priest was supposedly way forward in the chancel, facing away from them, saying over the elements of the Eucharist, hoc est meum corpus, this is my body in Latin. But it sounded to the people sort of like hocus pocus. He's up there doing his hocus pocus. No, faith comes from what is heard. So speak up, says Luther. Put it in a language they understand. And that was huge and outlawed in those days, basically. But you gotta hear Jesus. And that's the center of what we do as Lutherans. Preaching him, crucified and risen. And speaking of the Eucharist, Luther changed that one too. Quite drastically. The Catholic Church, as you probably know, believes in something called transubstantiation. Where the bread and the wine, by the power of the priest, he actually transforms the substance of them into the body and the blood of Christ. Luther said that's not biblical. That's not sola scriptura. That's Aristotle and philosophy. Saying that that there's no bread and wine left. Whereas what does the Bible say? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, the bread which we break, is it not a communion in the body of Christ? The cup which we share, is it not a communion in the blood of Christ? So Luther says, let's just stick with that. It's the word. There's bread and remains, wine remains, but the body is there and the blood is there present. Let's just stick with Scripture. So he got rid of all that transubstantiation talk, long prayers about that, and he got rid of the idea that it's a re-sacrifice of Christ. You know that that's what's believed? There's a re-sacrificing. The priest makes Christ present, or Christ is present. He sacrifices them again in an unbloody manner as a way to propitiate God and get merits for you, partaking of it to get yourself up the ladder to heaven. No, says Luther. It's by grace through faith in Christ alone we've been saved. This is a memorial meal. Remembering his death on our behalf, he's present in his own body and blood with the elements of the bread and the wine. He was once crucified and once offered. Therefore, this is but a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Huge change. He changed that one. And he also started to give to the people the body and the blood together in two kinds. The Catholic Church up until the 1960s gave you bread, but no wine, because as St. Thomas Aquinas said in the 12th century, the people might spill the wine and then you have the blood of Christ on the carpets or on the floor. Just give them the bread. But Luther says, Scripture alone. The Bible says, take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood, says the Lord. Give the people both the bread and the wine. And so did Luther changed the Mass. That's why we look very Catholic, but we are by all means, therefore, Protestant. But we're in a lot of ways closer to the Catholic Church because we do believe Christ's body and blood are present. Whereas many Reformed Protestants say there's nothing there at all, just bread and wine. So in some sense, it's closer to Catholic. Luther then reduced the number of sacraments. How many of you former Catholics? Seven. How many do we have in the Lutheran Church?
Three.
Two. Why? Because we define a sacrament by this, that Christ commanded and started it. It has to have a visible element and it has a promise. What's the visible in baptism? Water. And the Lord's Supper, it's bread and wine. And so we just stick again with the Scriptures on that. Repent and be baptized, says Peter, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. That's the promise to you and to your fathers. and to your children, that is, to all who are far off. And then the Lord's Supper, take and drink, this is my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. So down from 7 to 2, sticking with Scripture. He removed the prayers to the saints and the prayers to Mary. No, go straight to God through Jesus Christ. Sorry, I don't have a rosary for you, but you can go straight there because the Bible says again, we have confidence through Christ to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Christ, by the new and living way which he opened for us through the curtain through his flesh. Luther then made it that the priests could marry because, again, Scripture says Peter was married, the rest of the apostles were married, and Paul says that a later thing to creep into the church through the doctrine of demons was forbidding marriage and commanding abstinence from foods. So Luther said, do not forbid marriage, come back to the Bible, and stop commanding mandatory fasts. That also is a doctrine of evil. And Luther himself, as you know, married Katharina von Bora, who supposedly made great beer. She had her own brewery. So Lutherans are not teetotalers like the Methodists. At least supposedly the Methodist. But sticking with the straightforward truth of the gospel, again, keeping Christ number one, he also put hymns and songs and musical instruments into the service, giving the people to sing the great words of the truths of Jesus. A mighty fortress is our God, and his word abides forever. Interestingly enough, the Catholic Church, having rejected all these things for many years, at Vatican II, and right after, on November 29th, 1964, actually did much of what Luther did. They put the language, the liturgy, into the language of the people, started giving both kinds of the communion to the people, made the word more center-preached, and the congregation started singing hymns and such things. But what they forgot to do was to put the gospel at the center. Justification by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And that, Luther says, is the doctrine upon which the church stands or falls. And that we're going to put number one today, and we always do. So, why do we look so very Roman Catholic? Well, the view of the Lutherans is, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. It's very nice that we can worship in a way that Christians have for 2,000 years. Most of the service is how Christians have worshipped from the beginning. We preserved as much as we could and got rid of what was unbiblical in order to make Jesus Christ and the freedom that you have in him number one. To come together not to gain merits, but to receive the free forgiveness of God and the freedom of the gospel and uplift and save you and keep you in Christ to the end. So that's why Lutherans look so very Roman Catholic to so many Protestants, but we also look very Protestant to many Catholics. But I'm looking forward to that day, friends, holding fast to Christ with all true believers in all the denominations of the world, where we will gather on that beautiful day of Christ's return to worship God together in spirit and in truth into the kingdom of Christ and the world everlasting. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called Why Do Lutherans Look So Catholic to Protestants? And Why Do Lutherans Look So Protestant to Catholics? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Thanks for tuning in, and have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.